If you hadn't already got it from the video, you are unique. You've probably heard it before. Have you heard this before? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not just a good pickup line. Hey, did you know you're fearfully and wonderfully made? It's biblical. You are unique. Look at your fingertips. No one has the same fingerprint as you. If I can see my finger, I can't see my fingerprints. I'm sure I could if I put ink on them and then ran around the hall running my fingers over the walls, but nobody wants that. Well, you are unique. You're unreproducible and irreplaceable. In all the universe, there is no one who looks exactly like you. Although, the other day I was at the thrift shop and they had a new volunteer and they told me that it was my twin. And they kept calling her Lauren. That's not her name. Her name's Lucy. But we do look very similar. And I get that quite often. Often when I'm, you know, amongst friends, people will say, because I've got red hair, I look like other people that have red hair. And I feel very frustrated sometimes. But at the same time, I kind of own it as well. I'm like, oh, look, there's my twin walking past. If there's someone walking past that has red hair. But you are unique. In all the universe, there's no one who looks exactly like you, thinks your thoughts, feels your feelings. Above all, there's no other Christian in the world who is equipped and gifted like you. Within you, permeating your being, is a uniquely designed pattern of spiritual gifts. The body of Christ needs you and the gifts which the Spirit has uniquely bestowed upon you. Well, we're going to read today from 1 Corinthians. So if you have your phones on you and you want to look it up, it's 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 16, or if you've got a Bible with you. So it's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 16. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Well, the church is primarily a body designed to express through each unique individual member the life of God's Spirit in us. Each member of the body is equipped by the Holy Spirit with gifts designed to express that life. And once you become fully aware that God Himself has given you these spiritual gifts and that He has purposefully placed you exactly where He wants you in order to use those gifts, then you enter a whole new dimension of exciting possibilities. You enter a whole new world. And I'm not going to sing to you right now, but there is a song that comes to mind when I say that. Unbelievable sights, unimaginable feelings. I think that's true, that you discover those when you find where you're meant to be and you're using the gifts that God has given you. Well, you know, discovering our spiritual gifts, which we're talking about today, discovering and using our spiritual gifts, it's not something we do by taking a self-test. It's something that can help us, but it's not something we do by taking a self-test, like one of those true or false quizzes in a magazine. Now, I don't know about any of you, but does anybody remember the magazines that used to have the true or false quizzes, and it would be like, discover who your true self is. And you had to answer true or false to certain questions, and it would take you down through a flow chart, and then it would say, this is who you are. Or I know on Facebook sometimes there's quizzes that pop up, you know, which Disney princess are you? Mark, which Disney princess are you? Not sure? He hasn't done the quiz, so he doesn't know. That's right. So there's these different quizzes that you'll find that try to tell you who you are. Well, with our spiritual gifts, discovering our gifts takes time. It takes thought. It's not instant. It takes study of the scripture. It takes interacting with other Christians. And above all, it requires that we submit ourselves to Jesus, who reserves the right to coordinate and direct the activities of this body that we're a part of, because he is the center of that body. Now, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about talents. We're not talking about natural talents. And it's true that we have talents like musical ability or artistic skills or athletic coordination, not me. And that these talents are gifts from God. We all have different talents. I know, Erin, you're very talented at maths. That is not my stronghold. Or, I don't know, who else? I could pinpoint each of you and say that you have a talent at something. Alice has a talent at baking cakes. It's true. Andrew has a talent at baking also. We've all got different talents, but they're not exactly spiritual gifts. They're gifts from God, but they're not spiritual gifts. They're gifts on a physical and social level only, given to benefit humans in the world where we're at, in the natural realm, but not specifically in the spiritual realm. Spiritual gifts are given to benefit humankind and to benefit the church in the area in which the Spirit works. In the area in which our individual relationship with God. And the effect of a spiritual gift is to enhance a person in their own enjoyment of life and love of God, to bless them, in other words, but it's also to enhance other people, to enhance those around us in the Spirit's enjoyment of the life and love of God. Talents deal more with the surface of life. And though useful or entertaining, talents don't permanently affect and change people as spiritual gifts can do. I like that talents don't permanently affect and change people. They don't create transformation. When we think about vision statement by the Salvation Army. Wherever there is hardship or injustice, Salvos will live, love and fight alongside others to transform Australia one life at a time with the love of Jesus. Talents don't transform people. Spiritual gifts can. We can't try to use our natural talents alone to accomplish the work of God, because talent alone can't work in that area. But if we use our talents as vehicles or channels for our spiritual gifts, then we'll find that they work together beautifully. And since both talents and spiritual gifts come from the same God, it makes sense that they would work together well. So I'm going to ask a few questions. Andrew, how did you find out that you were talented at baking? Okay. So some of us are artistically gifted. Some of us are musically gifted. Again, I am not. I can't read music. You can try and teach me. Look, I can basically read music. I won't give myself a hard time, but it's not fantastic. But in order for us to become talented at something, sometimes it begins with some kind of desire. You simply liked what you're talented at and found yourself drawn towards those who are already doing it. You enjoyed watching those who were good at it and came to appreciate something of the activity. And that's the way spiritual gifts make themselves known at first as well, sometimes. Many Christians today have somehow gotten the idea that doing what God wants you to do is always dreary and unpleasant. God wants me to do this. It's such a hard life. But you know what? I think that when we do what God wants us to do, we find life in that. We find satisfaction in that. God doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants us to experience life and life in its fullness. The exercise of a spiritual gift is always a satisfying and enjoyable experience, though sometimes it can be an unhappy one. Jesus said that it was his constant delight to do the will of the one who sent him. It was his constant delight to do the will of God. The Father's gift awakened his own desire, and he went about doing what he intensely enjoyed doing. He ministered to people. He loved them. So how do we discover what our spiritual gifts are? We should start with what we feel mostly drawn to. So if you feel like you're drawn towards praying with people, start there. If you feel like you're drawn towards teaching, start there. If you feel like you're drawn to a certain area or a certain spiritual gift, start there. Study the biblical list of gifts and try exercising those gifts which most appeal to you. And then watch for improvement and development. Do you get better at it as you go along? Do you find your fears subsiding and a growing sense of competence developing? I think sometimes when I think about some of the spiritual gifts and I think about, you know, starting with them and perhaps trying them out, there is a little bit of hesitancy there for me and a little bit of fear. What if it's not for me? What if I don't do it well? When we get used to it, our fears subside. And when it's what God wants us to do, we become more and more competent. That's the way it is in discovering our talents as well. I might one day decide that I want to be talented at parkour. Now, for those of you that don't know what parkour is, it's about getting from point A to point B in the most creative way possible. So it means jumping off walls and doing somersaults and flips. So if I wanted to, you know, get from here to the train tracks, I might, you know, slide down the rails on the stairs or something and do a cartwheel to get across there. That's parkour. Well, look, that's parkour. I'd say that I'd give you an example, but I'm not talented at it yet. But maybe it's something that I want to get talented at, and I'll have to practice and work way up there. The way that we discover our talents is by practicing them. And sometimes we find that we're actually not competent at something. For example, when I was in year 7, I took up the clarinet. As I said earlier, I am not musically literate. I really struggle to read music, and I spent 3 years learning the clarinet. I can play some basic songs for you, but it's not my talent. I might play it for you one day. I remember one particular day when I was asked at church to play for the nativity show. Anyway, so the children were coming out in their different outfits. They were coming out as shepherds, and just as Mary was coming out with baby Jesus, I was playing Silent Night on the clarinet. The clarinet was not silent. The clarinet squeaked very loudly during that Silent Night. And it was then that I decided that perhaps I'm not talented at playing the clarinet. But you know, the things that we're talented at, other people will be able to see. And the things that we have spiritual gifts in, other people will be able to see as well. They'll be able to observe your life and tell you what gifts they see in you. Often other people can see more clearly than you can. They can see your lives more clearly than you can. And they can help to affirm the gifts in us which perhaps we can't see clearly yet. Now, there's the question, is it proper to pray for a certain spiritual gift to be given to me? Or should I just accept the gifts that I already know I have? Is it proper to pray for a certain spiritual gift to be given to me? And the Bible actually has different answers on this. You know, some people feel that the gifts that you possess are all determined by the Spirit at the moment that the Spirit takes up residence in you. And it might take you years to discover your gifts, but they're all there from the beginning, from the moment of your salvation, and no new ones are ever added. But others might point to the verse in 1 Corinthians 12:31 that says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." And they might feel that the Bible encourages prayer for specific gifts. But it should be noted that in this, someone refers to it as a y'all. Y'all should desire the highest gifts. And if you don't know what I'm saying, you all, y'all. I'm not very southern, so I can't. Y'all, how y'all going? Y'all should desire spiritual gifts rather than you should desire certain spiritual gifts. It would mean then that we as a body should desire the best gifts in our midst. And we should ask God to send individuals equipped with those gifts among us. You are unique. You have a unique function. And when you realize your unique function, when you realize your unique spiritual function and work together with others who have realized their unique spiritual function, God's kingdom comes. If we look at our bodies, every part has a different function. My eye has a different function to my arm. My nose, thankfully, has a different function to my armpit. Every part of our body has a different function. I can't imagine. Well, armpits are designed to, you know, to detoxify our bodies. From what I've read, I'm no scientist, but they're there to detoxify our bodies, and that's where sweat comes from. So I would not be happy if my nose started sweating to the extent that my armpit sweats. Not that you guys wanted to know that, but now you do. But every part of our body has a different function. Have you ever been in the car and you're driving along and you're looking for something and you have to turn the music down to see better? It's a bit funny. Or have you ever had to put your glasses on to hear better, for those of you that wear glasses? Hold on, let me put my glasses on. What were you saying? Each part of our body has a unique part to play. We have a unique part to play in the body of Christ as the church, but we can't play that unique part on our own. The life given to us through a spiritual gift cannot be used in isolation. We can't exercise our spiritual gifts without being connected to the true source of life, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the center of our body and we are all connected to it. And when we connect to Jesus and to others that are connected to Jesus, we begin to function like a healthy body. When that happens, beautiful things can happen. Miraculous things can happen. I was reading earlier in the week about how we all have different spiritual gifts and we all have different blends of spiritual gifts. So some people might be great, they might be gifted at prophecy and they might be gifted at healing, and that's their blend of gifts. Some might be gifted at serving and encouragement. Some might be gifted at teaching and preaching. We're all given different gifts and we're all given different blends of gifts. And it actually reminded me of McDonald's. Hold on. Okay, so at McDonald's, they have frozen drinks that come in several different flavours. I'm not going to list them all, but you've got Coke, you've got lime, you've got pineapple, you've got all these different flavours. Sorry? Fanta? Peach Fanta. Oh, okay. So they've got maybe, there might be 8 flavours, but the advertising is that you can get 37 different types of frozen drink. And it didn't compute in my head until I realised that sometimes you need to mix them. So I like the pine and lime, you mix those. And you know, it's similar in our own lives with our spiritual gifts. So we all have different blends of spiritual gifts. No one person is the same. We are each unique in the blends of gifts that we have. And each of those gifts is important. Each of those gifts is important to building God's kingdom here in this world through the body of Christ. You are unique. You have a purpose. You have gifting. And you need to discover that gifting. And how do we discover that gifting? We practice. We look at the things that we're drawn towards. We watch for improvement and development. We ask God to confirm this through His Spirit. We ask God to confirm this through other people. That's how we discover what our spiritual gifts are. We're going to watch a video now. And as we do, I want you to think about what are the things that make you unique? What are the things that you're drawn towards? What are the spiritual gifts that